Every year we celebrate the event that is told to us in the Gospel. In this particular year of this particular rite, we have the Gospel of St. Mark. But the other apostles, the other evangelists, also tell us the same story with slightly different angles, because they wrote it as they saw it, which was very deliberate, because it was not a plotted out scheme, it was as they saw it. And so, the mystery of the Transfiguration. Now, this mystery is celebrated twice in the year. On August the 6th, every year we celebrate it. It is a solemn feast day with all the bells and smells, as they say. And it is on that day that we concentrate on the glory of Christ, which is here anyway, but here is something else pointed out. And for us to do this more appropriately, we go back to the first reading of today's Mass from the book of Genesis. And if you notice, everything of great importance in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, including this of today, the Transfiguration, happens on a mountain. It is closer to God in heaven. At the very least, this was the symbolic meaning of that. But it was also the will of God to make us go up from ourselves, from our sinful selves, to the glory, to the holiness of God. And so in the first reading from the book of Genesis, all the way back to the beginning, not to the very beginning, not Adam and Eve, but a little bit later on, we have the command by God to Saint Abraham. Now, Saint Abraham and Saint Sarah, his wife, were in their 70s already. This is one of those miracles that we see in the scriptures. And they have been waiting and waiting and waiting, as others in the scriptures had been. Among them we see Saint Anne and Saint Joachim, the parents of the Blessed Mother. They too were very old when God said, okay, now is the time. And of course, doctors and so forth of today would say, well, that is just not what it usually is. Even then, really, who has a child at 75? So some of you ladies don't think that you can get away with it. A few years ago, I married two people who were in their 70s, and I had to go through the ceremony, and it says, will you accept children? And of course, everybody looked at, what? Yes, because it can happen. So here we have God, after many, many years of waiting, he gives to Saint Abraham and Saint Sarah a son who was to be the father of Israel. In fact, he is oftentimes referred to as Israel, Saint Isaac. And he was just a little boy, maybe six, maybe less. And God tells Abraham, now I've given you a son, I want you to sacrifice him to me. What? Well, Abraham is perplexed and hurt, and he doesn't know what to do, but he does the right thing. He obeys. And this is something that we need to learn. Obedience to God above all. And he takes, God shows him the mount, Mount Moriah. And there he prepares the altar. And the little boy asks, where we have the wood, and we have the fire, and we have this and that, but where is the lamb? That was a sermon that was made very famous, and I had the pleasure of being with him one of the times he pronounced it, when Venerable Archbishop Fulton John Sheen spoke about this. And he says, from the time of Genesis to the time of Christ, we have humanity and the church in the reality of Israel, which was the beginning of the church in the Old Testament, have been saying, where is the Lamb? Behold the Lamb of God, says St. John the Baptist. Where is the Lamb? So, there is no Lamb that they can see. And then all of a sudden, and one thing that when the lector was reading this reading, it reminded me of this because I use the older translations, and of course the Latin and Greek and all that. And they really try to mess things up nowadays, those who are trying to destroy everything. And they referred to the messenger. Now, it is true. In Greek, the word angelos means messenger. And so we have St. Michael the Archangel and all the other nine choirs of angels. But not all of them were messengers. But they were angels, pure spirits created by God, pure intellects, who at the moment of their creation knew everything that they could know, unlike you and I, who have to learn, we have to study, we have to go to school. And so, instead of saying the angel of the Lord, they say the Lord's messenger. This is such nonsense. The angel of the Lord came to Abraham on Mount Moriah. And the little boy, St. Isaac, Israel, says, where's the Lamb? He didn't realize. He had no inkling that he was the Lamb. And you know, it's interesting because, and this is why it happens here on the second Sunday of Lent. All of this. During Holy Week, and especially during the Easter Vigil, which I hope and pray that all of you will come to. That's one of the references that is made, including in the great hymn of the Easter Vigil, the Exultet. God did not spare his only son, though he spared the son of Abraham. This is a theme for the liturgy for Lent and for Holy Week. So, where is the Lamb? And the angel points out, there is a ram whose beautiful horns got caught in the brambles of a bush. That poor little lamb never knew that that was his last journey. He would be chop, chop, burnt, burnt, charcoal, charcoal very soon. Remember that. You don't know. You know, just 2 days ago, my godmother died. She didn't know a week ago that she was going to be dead. Now she is. And may God have her in purgatory at the very least. And so, that poor little lamb, that ram, that was it. That's the reason that ram was created. Not anything else. So Abraham offered the sacrifice. God spared the son of Abraham. God did not spare his only son, Jesus Christ. And so it is this to which the gospel also points. Now this episode happens, as it happens right now, for you and me, a few weeks before Holy Week and Easter. And our Lord particularly, deliberately, our Lord doesn't do anything that is not deliberate, by the way. There are no accidents. He doesn't just say something and it just escapes from his lips, as you and I often do. He does everything deliberately, knowingly. And he wants to prepare the apostles, but not all of them. There's a hierarchy always from the very beginning. Peter, the first pope, James, the first martyr, and John, the beloved disciple, who took care of the Blessed Mother till she was assumed into heaven. They had the most important vocations in the church. And it is to them that our Lord gives special privileges. And so he takes them out what is called Mount Tabor. When we have benediction and the exposition of the Eucharist, the monstrance is placed on a sacred vessel that is called the Tabor. It comes from Mount Tabor because it is there that the Lord is elevated for adoration as he is here. And on Mount Tabor, he shows himself just a tiny little bit. Human eyes cannot see God. They would burn. They would be blind forever. Just a tiny little bit who he really is. Here, St. Mark says, his clothes became dazzlingly white. Otherwise, they say, they became white as snow. And then, all of a sudden, next to him is St. Elias, here called Elijah, and St. Moses. The Old Testament. Elias represents the prophets, all the prophets. Moses represents the law. Because it is through Moses that God gives his law, particularly the Ten Commandments. But not only. There are hundreds of laws. All of them, but not the Ten Commandments, have been changed or abrogated by Jesus Christ. Including and beginning with the Sabbath. In the Old Testament, Saturday was the Sabbath. And that's what the word Sabbath means, Saturday. Our Lord changed it by his resurrection and by his gift of the Holy Spirit on Sunday. It became for us Catholics the Sabbath. And so the law of Moses, that which remains for us, are the Ten Commandments, which are very serious laws that we must obey. Whenever we deliberately disobey one of the Ten Commandments, we commit a mortal sin. I'm talking about deliberately, not an accident. None of you stub your toe and say a bad word. Now, certain words you can't say ever, no matter what. But if you deliberately disobey God, it is a mortal sin. You die, you go to hell. That's it. So we must always obey the Ten Commandments. But he changed other things. And so the other evangelists tell us that while they all fell to their faces, now Christ was totally changed, like they have never seen him and never would again till they died. And here are the Old Testament representatives. And what do you think they're talking about? The other evangelists tell us. They're talking about his passion, death, and resurrection. God is preparing the apostles, these three apostles, and he told them, do not tell anybody until the Son of Man is risen. And he already told them this, so you're not the only ones. You know, I tell people all the time, do this, do that, and they, And then they do the opposite. If I could name names, I would. And there's a few of you here who fall under that classification, who are the ones who make me have to go to confession. And thank God for confession. Every time I take the road, I say a few words, but not the real bad ones. Never, never, never. And so, here, they're talking about his passion, his suffering, his death and resurrection. And then while they're doing this, now they had the Old Testament, now they have heaven, all of a sudden. And it's interesting because the scriptures say a bright cloud overshadowed them. Now, you don't usually think of a bright, like a light overshadowing you and putting shadow on you. It enlightens you. But it says overshadows them. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And from there, God speaks, but he is never ever seen. Jesus is how we see God the Father. He is a perfect image of the Father. That's why he is called the Word, which we read at the end of the Gregorian Rite in the prologue of St. John's Gospel. En arche en ho logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word. It is the Word that we hear and see, Jesus Christ. But we never see the Father. We hear him, and we hear him particularly through Jesus Christ. And so then the vision is completed, where St. Peter always is the one who speaks out. He always speaks out. He was a Hebrew, but he could have very well been Spanish. Because we always speak out. We don't keep our mouth shut. We say something, "Oh, wow, Lord, what are you doing?" That's just the way it is. Let me build, and this is another bad translation, let us build one tabernacle for thee, and one tabernacle for Elias, and one tabernacle for Moses. Not tents. What are we going, camping? Are we going to pro bass sporting goods? Give me a break. You know, the people who did this, they should be thrashed and whipped at the column with Christ. And I'm not sorry I said that. And God the Father speaks. This is my beloved Son. He's giving us witness that this is indeed his Son. Now he's done this elsewhere, especially at the baptism. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Hear ye him. And then everything disappeared, and then they went down, and our Lord commanded them, "Do not tell anyone about this until I have risen from the dead." And even though they have heard this before, they have seen him raise people from the dead, they wonder, "What does this mean?" So you're not alone. When you're a deer in the headlights, you have Peter, James, and John along with you, and a few others besides. Well, listen to him. This is my beloved Son. Obey him. Interesting, the last time that God the Father speaks in the New Testament are the exact same words that the Blessed Mother Mary speaks at the wedding feast of Cana. Listen to him. Do as he says. Listen to him. Always united, God Almighty and the Immaculate Conception. Listen to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.